You're listening to Birth Stories.
Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Birth Stories. So Birth Stories is a safe space to share positive, empowering but realistic birth stories. You'll be able to hear a whole host of different birth stories here. And for the very first episode, I'm joined by my very good friend Ellie, who's going to tell us about a home birth with her first daughter Blythe, an unassisted home birth. She's going to share her story with us today. Welcome, Ellie.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming along. So to start with, would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and your family before we get into the meaty bits?
Sure, meaty, no pun intended. I live in North London with my partner, who's actually now my husband, Rex, and our two daughters, Blythe, who is 4.5 and a bit, and Otterline, Otty, who is nearly 1.
So if we start with Blythe, who's your eldest daughter, first of all, so just to take you back, I guess, almost 5.5 years then.
Yes.
And if you could just tell us a little bit about, I guess, when you got into the space of thinking about having kids and thinking that you might want to have children, and what happened from there until sort of Blythe's conception, I guess.
Okie doke. I hadn't really thought about it seriously at all, because I was single, and I'd been single formally single for quite a long time. I'd had a rogues gallery of idiots, and, you know, been with people who I wanted to be with and they didn't want to be with me, and people who wanted to be with me and I didn't want to be with them. But I was in my sort of early to mid 30s, and I met Rex. He is an estate agent, and I met him on a viewing of a house, and it was a very fast, almost kind of love at first sight kind of experience, and pretty whirlwind. I was working as an artist and lecturer at the time, and I was on my way to a residency in New York, which was 3 months long. And we kind of decided to remain committed to each other because we were sort of in the first throes of love. But I didn't really have any expectations long term on the relationship, and I kind of wanted to feel independent in New York. But almost as soon as I got there, I realised that I was pregnant, which was about 8 weeks later. So I had really not considered it properly at all. He was flying out to meet me in California at my brother's, where my brother was living at the time. And so I had to call him. Basically, my landlady, I told my landlady, she was the first person I told, and she basically put a gun to my head and said, "You have to call this man. You can't let him get on the plane and come to America not knowing that you're up the duff." But I let him know, and he was really delighted, and I really felt like it was right. And we felt, I think that even if we didn't stay together romantically, we would both respectively make good parents, and that it was the right thing for us. And also, of course, when you get to about 30, well, for me, I'd got to 34, I hadn't planned it, but I realised I didn't want a termination, and it was kind of like, well, if not now, when?
How did it work in terms of booking in? Because obviously the sort of traditional way is that you find out you're pregnant, you go to your doctor,
yeah,
you book in to see the midwife, but obviously if you're in a different country from where you're used to,
yeah,
how did you navigate the sort of medical side of things?
It's a good question, and also in the States, it's everything's private, so if I had done it there, I would have had to have paid, and I couldn't afford it, and I didn't really want to do that. I think probably pretty early on, I instinctively realised that I didn't necessarily want to go down a hugely conventional route. I think that was quite clear, and had quite strong political feelings about it. I don't think I was irresponsible, but I was relatively relaxed, even with the first one. Actually, I was more relaxed with the first one. And so I booked in my... I just called up, I knew which hospital I'd be at, and I just booked in my 12-week scan. I was very lucky that three of my best friends had all successfully given birth naturally at home with no medical intervention. And so I had really positive models and people that I could go to and people who I knew had already done it. One of my friends had actually done it three times. Actually, two of my friends had done it three times. One in South Africa, and very involved in kind of birthing movement out there. And then two friends here, one incredibly close to home. So I felt like, even though I hadn't experienced it firsthand, I just had really positive, strong role models to look to and to ask questions of. And I was living, at the time I was living in Archway, in Islington, and we were registered with the Whittington Hospital, which is a midwifery teaching hospital, and they had an incredible home birthing team there. So I also, not only did I have a social group that was incredibly supportive of the notion of home birth with no medical intervention, if at all possible, but I was also in a hospital which had the same philosophy, and I think that's probably quite unusual. Mm. So I felt that everywhere I went, people were encouraging me to do this thing rather than saying, oh God, I don't know, and have you thought about this? And so I had the opposite of the kind of scaremongering thing. And on top of that, Archway is where the Natural Birthing Centre is, which is run by Janet Blaskas, who's this sort of grandmother of, she'd hate me saying that, godmother of natural birthing, alongside Yehudi Gordon and people like that, and basically introduced the notion of water births and birthing pools, commercial birthing pools and birthing pools in hospital, in the, I guess it must have been in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So she runs her birthing centre from there. She lives there, she did live there, and she also has her active birthing mm-hmm. yoga there. So I totally fell in love with her, and I totally subscribed to her ethos and philosophy. Mm-hmm. And it was on the doorstep. So I had this triangle of support, which was her and her teachers and her writing, the hospital, and my friends, mm-hmm. and my mum. And my mum had not given birth at home, but she had given birth naturally both times with nothing. So mm-hmm. I also had somebody saying, oh, you'll be absolutely fine. You know, it's just a bit like a bad period pain, which, by the way, is not true. But my mum was quite no nonsense about. Yeah. So I didn't feel the fear, I think, that a lot of people fear. I had a midwife called Keiko. I didn't know that I would get her in birth, but I felt so encouraged and supported by her. And she was right for my personality. And again, you know, that's luck, isn't it? Yeah. But she was pretty no-nonsense. And whenever I sort of would bring up feeling nervous or worried about something, she'd sort of shut me down and say, oh, don't be ridiculous. You know, you're going to be giving birth on this rug before you know it, you know. So she really, I believed in myself, but she really helped me get there. And, you know, I can't talk about this at all without talking about Rex. I think lots of men and women are scared of not giving birth in hospital, mm-hmm. and not having the doctors there just in case. Mm-hmm. And Rex just wasn't. He's just quite, I don't know, he trusted my instincts, and it wasn't lip service. He really did, and I could tell he did as well. And like you, because I know you did this because you just told me, but I went swimming a lot, and I truly believe that not only was it time on your own and kind of just the sort of almost comforting and sort of supportive motion of swimming and being held in the water somehow, that, because there's something about your gravity and floating and just being held, you know, when you get so enormous in pregnancy, yeah. that you just feel like the ground just can't hold you in the same way as water can.
So the birth, if you could just tell us a little bit about just what happened really, where you were and what happened, and headspace.
We were at home. It was pretty textbook because my waters broke very early on, probably at about 8 o'clock in the morning. I was like, why am I weeing myself as I walk across the bedroom floor? I called my mum, and she was like, no, I think you haven't wet yourself, darling. I think your waters are broken. And I was like, but they can't have because she's not due for 3 weeks. And it was really, really nice. We pottered around. There weren't really any contractions at that point. I think I must have been very slowly contracting throughout the day, but I only kind of know this retrospectively. And we went to do a big Sainsbury's shop because we decided that we would kind of like hunker down, and bought some box sets, and I had a sleep with the cat, and Rex went into work briefly to tell them that he wasn't coming back. And we just took it really, really easy. Why we didn't get the pool up at that point, I don't know, but we didn't. I also didn't tell my midwife, which, again, retrospectively, I'm kind of not sure why. I think I might have phoned her and said that my waters had broken. In fact, I did. And she just said to me, okay, that's fine, but it can't go on for longer than, is it 24 hours before they induce you if your waters have broken and you haven't?
It varies by hospital.
I remember thinking, I don't like the sound of that. And Rex sort of saying something like, well, they'll have to break the door down to take you away. And phoning Janet and saying that this is what they'd said, and she'd sort of gone, nonsense. Just don't tell them anything else. So I think I kind of didn't, because I really, really didn't want to be induced. And I was so convinced, actually, that it was going to be fine and I was going to have her quite soon after that anyway, that we just went with it. And we went to bed at about midnight of that day. So it's been quite a long time. And as soon as I started to drift off to sleep, I started to contract. And they were pretty close together pretty quickly. And Rex got the TENS machine out, which was just, again, I mean, I know people who just absolutely swear by using a TENS machine. And for me, it was just too irritating, and I couldn't do a wee, and it was getting in the way. And I was like, just get it off me. It's not helping. And to be honest, the rest of it, I'm not entirely sure I can completely remember. The things that I remember that really stand out in my mind are, I threw up a lot, I vomited a lot, and I was really shocked because nobody had said to me, you might be sick. But once my stomach was empty, I stopped. But I did find that, I found that part of it probably the most difficult part. Rex was really amazing. He was sort of wandering around with you know, buckets and mops and things. He started to burn oil and stuff, and I was like, this is disgusting, stop. I didn't want to listen to anything. I didn't want music. I didn't want to smell anything. I wanted to be completely by myself. And then I was just in the bedroom most of the time by myself whilst Rex was upstairs. I stood up for almost the entire period of time and leant against the wall. I did sniff a lot of clary sage. I don't know if you have used that, but I'm pretty sure that's what sped things up, because evidently it can. And that worked for me. I found it. It's really difficult to explain because it is more painful as it goes faster, but actually I just wanted to get it. I didn't want it to slow down. And at one point, Rex ran me a bath, and I got in the bath, and because he'd been sort of diligently timing my contractions, we noticed quite quickly that being in the bath slowed the contractions down, and I was like, I'm not having this. So I just got out. He made a coffee at one point, which also made me really angry because the smell of the coffee, I couldn't deal with the smell of the coffee. Like, it's like your senses are so sort of overheightened. He also did have a piece of cheesecake and a glass of wine at one point, which he didn't tell me about until afterwards because he was so exhausted. And then we decided to call the midwife. And let her know. And she was like, well, And she did the thing that they do, which is say, you know, put Ellie on the phone and let me talk to her, because if she can talk to me, she's not close, you know, to giving birth yet. And I kept saying to her, I think I'm quite close, Keiko, and I've been sick, I didn't like it, it was horrible. And she was like, it's fine, it's really, really normal, but I don't think that you're there yet. You've probably got quite a while to go, but I will start to get myself ready, and it's going to take me an hour to get over to you anyway. So I don't know. I think we didn't want to bother. It sounds ludicrous. I think we didn't really want to bother her. It was the middle of the night, and I had heard so many people say, you think you're close and you're not, and then it's, you've got 2 days to go, or people being turned away at the hospital. And I couldn't bear the idea of her coming and measuring me and saying, yeah, buckle up, you have 3 centimetres dilated. It just would have felt too demoralising. So I think that's why we left it so late. But what then happened was I started to transition, and you know that's happening because it's a very specific feeling. And for me, it was very short but very painful. And Rex was kind of like, yeah, there's some really weird things going on down there, particularly in the sort of anus region. And I was like,
so
I mean,
he was right there.
Yeah, he was right there, yeah. And I, then he called her and he was just like, Keiko, like, we're pretty sure this is happening now. And she's like, okay, I'm leaving. And then I moved, then he was with me the whole time, and I did really need him with me at that point. Like, physically, it was just so difficult to move anywhere. And I had still been standing up. During transition, I went onto a birthing ball, which was really amazing. And then I ended up on the stairs. And stairs are really great because you can be sort of half upright, but you're being supported. So you've got gravity on your side, but there's something to lean against. And I really remember sort of holding onto the stairs and the banisters for dear life. And it was a short, like, split level bit of stairs. So it was almost like my body length. It was totally perfect. And just by the bathroom. And I still didn't know what was happening. And because I didn't know that transition was transition, and I didn't know that that's what that feeling was and that pain was, I didn't realise I was ready to give birth. But Rex realised. And he was like, I'm pretty sure I can see the head of a baby coming out of your vagina. And he was really sweet. He went off and he washed his hands because he remembered, it was like the one thing he'd remembered from the active birthing thing was like, make sure that in the unlikely event of delivering your own child, you wash your hands. So he ran off, washed his hands, and she was born pretty quickly, delivered by Rex on the stairs. And he also remembered, you know, things like, you need to, you have to keep the umbilical cord kind of together and straight, and you pass the baby through the legs and onto the tummy and all that kind of stuff. And we literally lay there, him crying with a t-shirt covered in blood and gunk, and me naked on the stairs with this tiny little baby. And then the doorbell rang and Keiko must have arrived. I mean, it must have been literally about a minute after she was born. So Rex ran downstairs and was going, Keiko, we've had a little girl. And she was like, what? She was so angry with us. I mean, she was so angry with us. But it was fine. And then she came in and she kind of took over, and she was incredible. I tried to give birth to the placenta by sitting on the toilet. And it didn't happen. I fainted on the toilet and fell off the toilet. So I, after all of that, I ended up actually going to hospital anyway, because she was just worried that, because she hadn't been there and she hadn't seen what happened and she hadn't known what had happened. But they were amazing and kept sending people in to us to go, are you the guy who delivered his own baby on the stairs by accident? And they were just so lovely. I also, you know, did it in the way that I wanted to, which was at home. I did have the injection with Blythe because, again, she was worried and she just wanted to get me out of there.
Did you feel like your body was pushing, or were you very sort of not so aware of that in
some
ways?
Yeah, it's funny, I'd read a lot about the birth reflex and how pushing wasn't a necessity and it was a kind of invented thing. But that was not my experience. And my mum had said to me at the point of pushing, you just need to push as harder than you could even ever possibly imagine. And that was my experience, was the same, was that it didn't, that birth reflex thing didn't kind of kick in and I did have to push, but probably only about 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. And again, it was not as fast as Otty, but it was, you know, on relatively speaking, mm-hmm. it was fast because I had her at 5 in the morning and I'd only started contracting at midnight. So.
And do you think you were pushing because obviously midwife wasn't there yet? Do you think, were you doing it as a sort of conscious thing, like my body needs me to do this?
Yeah,
now?
I had to do it. Although the birth reflex thing didn't happen, I did get an overwhelming feeling and need of wanting
that
to.
That was it.
Yeah, that was it.
To do.
And the head, because Rex was standing behind me and I was on the stairs with my back to him, but the baby, of course, was facing him. So he said it was just like this totally bizarre chimera of a, you know, human, naked human with like head coming out of a vagina, like, you know, literally like a sort of ancient statue. And she opened her eyes and she was, he was like, it's looking at me. I mean, what he remembered was like amazing. He cleared out her mouth and stuff and got all the gunk away and, she didn't make a sound, but I think instinctively he knew that she was all right. And then, you know, the shoulders came out with the push, and then that's the painful bit, isn't it? And then there's that huge relief. That's what I remember, like feeling those sort of slippery legs and feet come out. And then you know it's done. And I was on a real natural high. I mean, it was as if you had done more drugs than anybody I have ever seen take drugs. And I was going, I told you it was a girl, I told you it was a girl. And just sort of hysterical. Yeah, but all in all, just an amazing experience. And what Blythe does know is that Rex delivered her on the stairs of our house where we used to live. And I think she feels, you know, as proud as we feel about that, she does too. It's taken me quite a long time to say I feel really proud of it though, because again, it feels like a bit of a competition and it doesn't feel like the done thing to say. But genuinely how I felt afterwards was that it was, you know, the proudest moment of my life. I didn't feel I'd ever done anything so incredible ever, you know.
Thank you so much for talking
You're welcome,
to us
Tom.
About it.
Thanks for listening.
And come back again for Otty's story. So thank you.